from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field in the Jaguars Radio Network studios. This is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osher. Here's how you can get in on the show today. Socially, at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osher. Full slate today. Denard Robinson slated to join us here shortly. Matt Miller from Bleacher Report as well. And quite a buzz in the building today, John. A lot going on.
We're back, first of all.
That's right.
And there is a buzz. It's exciting. There's a lot of prospects in, and it's sort of that time of year. We'll be busy this week, and then it'll sort of cool down until the draft. It'll have more of a preliminary, guys in meetings preparing for the draft type feel. But this is exciting this week.
No doubt. Players in, the pre-draft process continues. We'll get to that a little bit later, too, and then we'll chat about the draft and what could happen, of course, those 3 days. Matt Miller has done a seven-round mock, which I don't know how
you
do that.
Probably took him 7 days.
It might have taken him a whole week to do it. We'll talk to him coming up as well. Here, let's look at the Jags this week. Mm-hmm. Prospect visits, off-season program and draft, of course, upcoming. And a little update on the stadium, too. We've seen some progress on that front as we've moved the last few weeks. The north and south end zones really starting to take shape. Still awaiting Denard Robinson, but you know what? The stadium's well on its way now, and it's cool to see this thing really come through.
Well, and I've had a couple questions in the Ozone the last couple of days about the stadium, and from talking to Mark Lamping, from talking to people who have seen the prototypes and sort of have a good perspective on what these are going to look like, I don't think anybody can get a full appreciation for how big, how state-of-the-art, how much different this stadium is going to look next year once these video boards are in. I've sort of taken a peek at what's going on out there. It's obviously going to be different, but the enormity of these boards, every time you talk to somebody who's sort of in the know, which you and I are clearly not, you get a full effect for how excited they are about this. So the in-stadium experience should be a lot of fun next year.
No doubt. It's cool seeing the supports in the end zone. It tells you how big this scoreboard's going to be. It doesn't really fully tell you.
So far outside of what they were before. Again, it is such a quantum leap from what has been there before that I think people who are just thinking of these as video boards or scoreboards, they're sort of missing out on the fullness of the fan experience. That might be the best word, the fullness that it's going to be. It's going to completely change how the game is inside the stadium.
We're ready to welcome in our first guest, Denard Robinson, Jaguars running back. I don't know if they call him the offensive weapon anymore. I don't know if he's down for that, but he's joining us here in the Jaguars Radio Network studios in the off-season workouts. The program hasn't even started yet. Denard, it's great to see you. Move up to the mic a little bit so we can get closer to you. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. It's always great to see you, too.
I know. It's been a while, and they say you're heavier now, right? Is that true?
Yeah, I'm trying to carry a little more weight than I had before. So I gained a couple pounds. I gained probably like 10 or 15 pounds. So.
What do you do to gain weight? Just hit the weight room?
I've been hitting the weight room and trying to eat healthy. So I'm trying to stay away from the fast food.
He should take some advice from you on that.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to lose weight. He's trying to put it on, for sure.
And it was interesting. I talked to you a couple weeks ago, Denard, about sort of the weight gain and your mindset. And it was an interesting quote you said, so you can hit some linebackers in the mouth. Yeah. And that got a big laugh from people who read it. But there is some truth to that, isn't it? You need to be a little heavier to take the pounding of the NFL.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think if you want to be carrying the ball, if you want to carry the ball 25 times a game or 15 times a game, you want to put on that weight so you can take on these linebackers and D linemen hitting you and stuff like that. So you gotta know these safeties coming down hitting too now. So cornerbacks even want to get in the mix. So you gotta make sure you put on that weight so you can be able to take those hits.
And there's a perception or the natural thought of people would be, well, he played quarterback, so he wouldn't want that sort of contact. But from talking to you the other week, you're sort of looking forward to that. You kind of like that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I embraced it. I mean, even when I did play quarterback, I always embraced it. You know, when I get hit, I'm talking. I'm giving it to. I'm dishing it. I'm not just going to take it. So that's how I look at it now. I can dish it now. So you're going to feel me too. I'm going to feel you. You're going to feel me probably even more.
This is part of the show is social interaction live on at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John O's. You're a Twitter guy, right?
Not really.
No.
Now, I get on there a little bit, but I don't tweet as much.
What is the handle for you? It's what, Denard?
Denard X.
Denard X. That's the real one. I don't see the blue check mark, though.
I don't believe it. I could get the blue check, but I don't know if I want it yet.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's go to Twitter and get some questions. This is from the Union Jacks, the fan club in the UK. A question for Denard from UK fans. What was your personal highlight of your time in London last season?
Man.
Great week.
I think the pet rallies was real well. I think that was a treat for me because I didn't even know they watched football like that. And when I seen that, it was just like, man, that's big time. And they came out of support. They were screaming and yelling and supporting us. So it was great to see those guys come out there. And even when we walked into the stadium, when we came out, it was crazy to see that arena like that. So,
very cool. Very cool. Another one. Let's go off Facebook now. This is from Wevin Kiever. And he asked you, this is off Facebook, he asked you, may I call you D-Rob? I think everybody calls you D-Rob anyway, yes. You were electric in college ball, and I think anyone who watched you last season saw why. Speed kills. What's your biggest hurdle now going into this season? What do you have? What have you learned maybe from a year ago that you can take now into this offseason?
Just learn how to, you know, become a pro and, you know, learn that, you know, the outlook of being a running back, you know, trying to be a student of the being a running back and doing things that running backs do and trying to get used to, you know, looking at the game from a running back position. So that's something that I've been looking at. And you can't call me D-Rob because it's my brother nickname. So.
Oh. Well, what do we call you? The shoelace still apply?
Yeah, shoelace has been my nickname since I was 6 years old, 5 years old. So that's what I'm used to being called right now.
Fair enough.
Denard.
Or Denard, yes. That'll work too, right?
Yeah.
One thing we talked a little about the other week, Denard, was, you know, we didn't get too much into it in the story, but the idea of maintaining speed. As you get bigger, is that a challenge? Are you worried about that, or how do you approach that?
I think that's a big deal. I want to be able to control my speed and be able to get faster, you know. Mm-hmm. So if I get bigger, I want to be able to be faster and be quick on my feet so guys know that, you know, I'm big and I can punch, you know, pack a punch. Mm-hmm. So.
And you had mentioned beach work. And we didn't really get into that very much.
Yeah.
And that's about explosion. But I guess take me through beach work. What does that entail when you're doing that?
I don't want to tell people my secret, man. That's the things that I do when nobody else is working. You know, when everybody else is asleep, I want to be doing that. You know, that's something that I always look forward to since I was in high school. So yeah. I've been doing that. I stayed right off the beach, and I stayed around the corner from my high school. So those are the things that I used to do to try to build myself. So now I've been doing that here, so. Get used to doing it in Jacksonville Beach. It's a little harder than in Jacksonville Beach than it is in South Florida Beach, so it's different.
So some things stay internal.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, we can't get that out of you? Come on, this is the environment for that. I mean, come on, everybody online's watching.
I'm just saying, man, you want to be better than others, right? You want to set yourself apart from other people, so that's how you got to do it. You got to put in work that other guys not doing, so. That's how I look at it.
Denard, what was your reaction when they signed Toby Gerhardt? Have you met Toby yet and the interaction with him?
I haven't met him yet. I should have. I mean, that's one thing. He's going to be a part of the team and part of the pack. So I'm going to probably try to get his number after this now that you mentioned it. And but once we signed him, I was like, man, that's a good add to the team. I think he could contribute to the team. And I'm happy for it and excited for this season, you know, to try to make our mark on the team.
It'll be a different room next year, though, without Mojo, will it not?
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to miss Mojo. I think that was one of the guys that always, you know, looked out for the team, I know he looked out for our position unit. And every time he came in, you knew that he was a guy that was a team player. And you enjoy being around that guy. He's a great teacher, a student of the game. And he always, like, sat us down, sat me and Tommy, and I was like, all right, man, you can do this, you can do that, you know, like breaking everything down for us and how to watch film. And him and Justin Forsett are going to be missed, really.
When he spoke last year publicly, he supported you quite a bit. Did that mean a lot to you? And some of the stuff you just talked about, I assume that means something to you when a veteran of his stature sort of is willing to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's big. That's big in a locker room. If you got a guy like Mojo in your locker room, I mean, it take the ease off you. You know, man, you put so much pressure on yourself. And he's like, man, look, calm down, man. I mean, we've been through this, man. I did this when I was your age. I did this, you know. So you just calm down, let things unfold for you. And that's how he talked to me. And I was like, man. And he was like, just keep pushing, keep doing this, keep doing that. You know, just being a it was like a family, being a big brother. You know, just teaching me the game and just, you know, you could be on his wing. He's like, all right, I'm going to take you under my wing. I got you. You're going to do this, okay? So it was fun being around that guy.
So you feel like a running back now?
I feel like an officer weapon still. No, I'm messing around. That's what I've been practicing on right now. I've been working on that right now. So that's what I feel like right now. I feel good to be right here, you know, in this position. And, you know, I feel good right now. I feel comfortable.
They always talk for a second-year guy about how the game sort of slows down. And I've also heard guys talk about how life and their approach sort of slows down in that second off season.
Mm-hmm.
And are you feeling that where you sort of come into this off season knowing exactly what you need to do and your focus is there a little more than was maybe last year as a rookie?
Yeah, it's true. Because last year I was training for being a wideout and doing punt returns and kick returns and, you know, just being a slasher, not even thinking about playing running back. I didn't even know I was being looked at as a running back. So that was a surprise. So right around this time, I was training to be something different, you know. So now I'm training to be more fit to play running back and do the things, different things they asked me to do around here. So that's how I'm looking at it.
And you didn't bring your football with you today.
The football's in the car right now. If you want to go in my car right now, it's in the car.
That's
right?
Not a good place. Sure. We got to have it in your hands tonight.
The football is in the car. I just got done doing routes right now. I just came back. Like, right before I got here, I was just doing routes, like catching passes right now. So,
but all kidding aside, that is something that you take seriously, and it's more than just a thing you're doing. It's something that you're working on.
The most important thing on the football field is the football. So that's how you got to look at it. The most important thing is the football. So every time you get a chance, just make sure you take care of the football right when you're on the football field. So,
and you always been a guy. Gus talked a lot about late last year. You approached him, say, "Hey, what do I need to do?" Has that always been your MO to be able to look at yourself and your game and say, "Okay, what do I have to do to get better?" Is that what you're about?
Oh yeah, I'm always thinking. I was told this in college. What's the biggest room in your house? And this room for improvement. And that's how I look at it. That's the biggest room in my house, and I want to improve everything I do. So I look at myself and be like, okay, this is what I think I'm looking at. And if I ask other people around me, that's, you know, that's in the looking at me, you know, looking at the outs from the outside, and they pretty much watch and see what you do wrong. So they're gonna be like, okay, Gus is one of the honest guys that I've been around. So he's going to shoot you straight forward and tell you, okay, this is what you need to work on. So that's why it wasn't a problem for me to go ask him, because I knew he was going to tell me the truth and be honest with me. So I just let that. I was like, all right, that's what I need to do. So I was already looking at that. So let's do it. Let's work on it. So I'm working on it. I'm hitting it and going at it.
Denard, we appreciate your time today, and we're sorry about your Michigan guys in the tournament. They didn't turn out so well.
It was tough, man, but I'm still proud of them, man. It's always go blue, and it's always good. So appreciate it being here, and thank y'all for having me.
Thanks, Denard. Denard Robinson joining us, Jaguars running back, offensive weapon, whatever you will, here on Jaguars.com live. Always great to visit with number 16. Hey, let's talk tickets. Jags recently announced the Jags 365 program, providing a greater level of service and new experiences for season ticket members. Unprecedented access to Everbank Field, coaches and players, and exclusive events and packages tailored to your personal preference. New seating options for 2014 announced as well. For more information, visit Jaguars.com and click on tickets. Let's look at this great home schedule, of course. Steelers, the Giants, the Dolphins, Browns, Colts, Texans, Titans are all here. That Dallas Cowboys game is at Wembley Stadium in London. Great home schedule coming up. JP Shadrick with John Osier. This is Jaguars.com live from Everbank Field. Glad you're with us today. Always fun to hear from number 16.
Well, and a couple of thoughts on him. First of all, he's an incredibly popular guy with fans, and it's easy to see why. He's a very likable kid. You know, you've seen him with fans after practice. If he can sort of harness his potential, boy, what a big impact he could be on and off the field. And it's always interesting to me, and I think you've seen a little bit, JP, too, when you talk to guys who are coming back for their second year, there is, or there should be, a maturity that comes with it. You've had your rookie year. You've had your deal where you were getting drafted. You're preparing for the combine. And that's a flurry. That's something that most people can't even imagine. You're preparing for this, and a lot's coming at you. And then all of a sudden, you go from college. You're in a new environment. You're trying to impress. Fans of a team sort of know what a team's about. These players coming in are getting used to everything. They're trying to figure out where the bathrooms are, so to speak. Yeah. So it's a whirlwind, and the very, very elite players can sometimes come in, and if they're very mature, they can get it, and they can be acting like veterans before the end of the season. Most guys have a big adjustment. So it's interesting to see guys come in that second year, and they've been able to take a breath. They've been able to get away for a couple of months and sort of have it sink in what I need to do. From talking to Nard a few weeks ago, from talking to him today, you get the idea that he's starting to get to that point that a lot of us second-year guys do, where they get what they need to work on, they get where the focus is going to be, and that's usually when the talent can start to come forth. So it's going to be an exciting time for him the next few months.
It's even for a guy like that who is the biggest star you can be in college, you know, there's a learning curve.
Well, and again, I think he was used to the attention.
Sure.
He handled his rookie season very well. He had a tough rookie season. He had fumbles. He didn't contribute the way he certainly wanted to and some fans expected. But this was a guy who came in as a fifth-round pick. He had a big name, but he came in as a fifth-round pick, so that's a project position. So anything they get out of him is a big plus. And they believe strongly that he can be a contributing factor next year. You listen to Dave and Gus talk. They believe that Denard Robinson can have a significant role with his speed, with his ability. So, again, it's going to be a very exciting time for him in the next 4 or 5 months to see sort of where he can contribute. They've got a role for him. He's comfortable with the role. He seems to be at that age and that stage in his career where he's ready to do it. Now it's time for him to do it. And, you know, he knows that. If it can be done, you have confidence that this guy can get it done.
Jaguars.com Live. Let's move on to some of the biggest news, I guess, around NFL this week are all these visits for the prospects coming up in the draft. We've all seen the reports of players who are around today here in Jacksonville. What does this really mean? I mean, are these that? They're not really on-field workouts. They're roaming around the halls and this and that, but what is this?
Well, one of our jobs, you know, yours and mine, is to sort of figure that kind of thing out, right?
That's right.
And so I'm thinking about this morning and last night. I'm thinking, you know what this means? The fact that they've got, you know, these names you're hearing, Manziel and Robinson, all the names you're hearing on Twitter, it means they're picking third. And it means that those are the guys, they've got pretty much all the guys who are in that top 7 or 8 in some capacity and they're meeting with. I think more than anything, these visits are about due diligence. You know, you might say, well, they're probably not going to take this position or that position. Why would they have this guy in? Well, what you don't want to do is get in a situation where you're going to trade, you're trading back, guys go off the board, or you find out information at the last minute that makes one guy undraftable. You don't want to get to a spot where you're picking between X and Y, and 3 weeks ago you didn't think you were going to take player Y, and now all of a sudden you've got to make a choice on him, and you haven't done all your homework. Mm-hmm. So are they realistically going to take player Y? Maybe not. But you want to bring them in. You want to do your due diligence. And then you want to be able to say, okay, yes, we're making the right decision. Because once they start making those decisions on draft day, you've got 15 minutes. So the information has to be absorbed in Dave's mind, in his, you know, soul, if you will, because you're making a pick. It's important. He needs to know that he's done all the research and all of the questions that might come up on draft day. Whatever their scenario is, they want to make sure they have every guy that's even a remote possibility well-researched.
By the way, speaking of these visits, stay tuned to Jaguars.com a little bit later today. We might have a few special surprises for you. And speaking,
you big tease,
oh,
you.
Watch out. Watch out.
That's,
I just rolled my sleeve up a little
right
bit
there,
showed my wrist there.
Yeah,
how about
professional
that?
Professional show business is a tease.
Speaking of the NFL draft, Jaguars.com coverage of the draft coming up May 8th, 9th, and 10th. We'll be live after every Jaguars selection with instant analysis and reaction. Much more planned as well. Stay tuned for more details and your place for Jaguars draft coverage right here on Jaguars.com. One of your main places for NFL draft coverage is Bleacher Report, and we're joined via the phone line now by the NFL draft lead writer for Bleacher Report, Matt Miller. Our good buddy Matt is with us. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me today.
And I know Jaguars Twitter, I told him to just take it easy on you today, the Jaguars Twitter guys, since you're helping us out today.
You know, we are good friends now. We had such a rocky beginning to our relationship, but now you guys have some of the most passionate, knowledgeable fans in the NFL, and I have a great time talking with Jaguars fans on Twitter now.
That's quite a relationship arc for you there.
It is. It's been a wild swing these last 3 years, but it's good. They've taught me a few things, and hopefully I've been able to teach them a thing or two, or you know, help you guys figure out more about the players that you're bringing in and drafting.
On a serious note, Matt, you've followed this league for a while, and if you could talk maybe about the way the perception of this organization has changed from national guys like yourself, who maybe 2 or 3 years ago there was a lot to criticize on that front, and Twitter was a wild terrain on that front. How much has that changed in your view?
Well, it's changed a ton, and I think some of it, you know, and I'll be the first guy to accept blame for this. A lot of it was just kind of lazy analysis, you know. You hear during the broadcast, oh, well, they, you know, there's not, the stands aren't full, and you run with that, and you never go back and look and say, well, okay, that was the case so many years ago. Is it still the case? So I think, you know, being a national guy, it is a tough job to be informed and knowledgeable about 32 fan bases, not only the players, but about the fan bases, about attendance, the coaches, the schemes. It's a tough gig, but you have to do your due diligence, and I think that's where, you know, thankfully there is a group like Jaguars Clear that will say, like, okay, hey, idiot, that's not a problem anymore. And so if you're, you know, trying to be the best you can be in your job, like I am, then you step back and you say, okay, well, these guys have a really good point, and attendance isn't a problem, and you've got a new owner who is great, and you've got a new general manager and head coach who, the first time you talk to Gus Bradley, you want to run through a wall for him because he's just such a great guy. And so I think, you know, everything kind of came together at once, and now you have this organization where I've completely bought in on Gus Bradley. I think every time I wrote about you guys last year, it was like they're pointed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Dave Caldwell and Bradley, they've got this team going in the right direction. It's just a matter of time and patience, and I think they're building something special there.
Well, now that you've built them up, I'll have to spend the next week tearing Jaguars Twitter down. So thanks a lot, Matt.
See, we have a good back and forth going.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Matt Miller is with us, NFL draft lead writer for Bleacher Report. Find him on Twitter, Jaguars Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, I know you did a full 7-round mock draft just a few days ago. I want to ask you, how long does it take you to put that together?
So long. It's like a 4 or 5 day process. And what's funny is what happened last week is somehow I forgot to factor in the Niners-Chiefs trade in the second round. And so I got through all 7 rounds and was like, oh, God, I forgot a trade. So I had to erase everything up to that point and redo it all. So it's a huge process. You know, I try to be very analytical in it and actually look at each team's needs. You know, so for Jacksonville, it's not just like, oh, let's give them a quarterback and, you know, maybe we'll give them a wide receiver, but actually try to be in touch with what their needs are, you know, where areas where they can get better, areas where you have upcoming free agents where the salary cap might be a factor, what type of players best fit that scheme. So not quite as easy as maybe just connecting the dots. I think that's what a lot of people believe I do for these, but I'm actually trying to put myself in that GM's chair and say, how can I make this team better using the draft picks that they have?
Matt Miller is with us, Bleacher Report. Hey, Matt, we got a couple of social questions. This is from at LoganTyler24. How does it look for the Jaguars to draft Teddy Bridgewater or another star quarterback this draft? I know you had him at going at 3 to the Jags in that 7-round mock, right?
I think it looks great, and I think that's who should be the pick. I think that's who should be the pick at 1 with Houston. Bridgewater is my top-ranked player. I think he's very, very special. But I do think it looks good for the Jaguars. If he's not off the board to Houston, St. Louis is not going to draft a quarterback at 2. And I think if they're in a position to trade back, it's going to be someone hoping to get Jadeveon Clowney or Sammy Watkins or Khalil Mack. So Jacksonville should be in a good position to to go after the top quarterback in the draft at pick three.
Now, it's interesting, Matt, because what you're saying is completely sort of against this, politically correct's the right word, but there's been this trend now that Bridgewater is out of the top 10, he's sliding, but you seem to not be as big on the pro day slide and think it's going to be more about his body of work, it sounds like.
It is. Gosh, 3 years game film. Right. I don't think you can throw that out the window off one afternoon. And if you do, I think your evaluation philosophy is completely different than any I've ever seen. But it definitely does seem like a lot of people have bought into the idea that his pro day makes him a terrible player when the game film shows something completely different. And I think people are forgetting that each team can bring him in for a private workout. And he has a chance to undo everything that went bad at the pro day. He can do that for a team. Put the glove back on, show the ability, the touch, the vision that we all saw on film. I think Bridgewater, when you line them all up, maybe he doesn't have the upside of Manziel or Bortles, but he has the right now ability. He has the football IQ to make the calls before the snap. He has the touch, the accuracy, the mobility. To me, he has it all. It's probably the biggest mind-boggling proposition of this whole draft for me, that people are down on Bridgewater and up on some of these other quarterbacks that don't have his ability to play right away.
Matt, we have another question off Twitter, Matt. This is from CLWalker85. Can a stretch the field, take the top off a defense wide receiver be found on day two of the draft? I know you just did the full mock, but yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a very deep class for wide receivers, and I always try to differentiate between that. I think Sammy Watkins is elite, and if you like him and he's there, you should draft him. But it is deep in that you can still find a contributor in round two because, we had, 20 underclassmen receivers come out. So I think if you want a take-the-top-off guy, Marquise Lee could be there for you in the second round. Jarvis Landry doesn't have great speed, but he has good enough speed to be a stretch-the-field guy. He could be there in round two. Dante Moncrief, big, fast receiver from Ole Miss, could be there maybe even in early round three. So I think there's a lot of depth at wide receiver if that's a position where, Justin Blackmon, everything's kind of in flux there. They definitely need some help at that position. If you're looking at round two or round three, there should be guys there who can contribute right away.
Matt Miller with us from Bleacher Report. This is Jaguars.com Live. And it's a month away now, Matt. I mean, can you believe it's 2 weeks later? Are you wishing it was earlier now? Are you ready for this?
I wish it was earlier. The extra time is great because it does allow more time to evaluate these guys. But I tend to think that, at least the way I do it, I start to overanalyze guys because of the extra time. And there's no lack of hunger from fans for information. So it's not like you can just set your board in early May and be like, okay, I'm on cruise control until May 8th. Here we go. People want that analysis and information. So a lot of it is, it's going to be going full steam ahead until that first pick comes off the board. So I miss the days of it being, like April 24th. That was perfect for me.
I had one final question, Matt. It everybody you talk to says this is the deepest, best draft in a long time. In theory, how much better can a team with 11 picks get immediately out of what is known as a deep draft? Does it go deep enough where you can see a little bit more of an impact than most years, I guess? Because usually it takes rookies a while to get, going.
Well, I do agree that this is one of the deepest drafts I've ever seen. I know Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, said at the Combine it's the deepest draft he's seen in 30 years. I've been doing this about 10 years, and I'm not ready to make it the top class, but it is one of the best. And I think you're going to see guys drafted in the middle of round two that normally be first-round players, and that's going to have a trickle-down effect. Fourth-round guys, may have been late second or early third-round picks in a normal year. So I think if you need that instant impact, this is a great year for it because, you're going to there's going to be a lot of seniors that get pushed down the board because of how good some of the juniors are, how much upside they have. You're going to get instant impact type players. I think throughout the first 3 to 4 rounds in this year's draft, you should expect those players to, if not start right away, to be major contributors, if it's in a nickel situation or a 3 or 4 wide situation, a running back who can come in and be your second guy. You should see a lot of impact from this year's draft.
Matt Miller is the NFL Draft lead writer for Bleacher Report. He's a must-follow on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, we really appreciate your time today, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Matt Miller joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Jaguars Thursday on the new home of Jaguars is 1010XL. That's coming up tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Brian Sexton, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars Thursday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Always good to hear from Matt Miller.
Preseason schedule coming out today.
Yeah, that's at 3:15 today. The league will announce the preseason schedule. Also, the Jags in the community quite a bit this week coming up. Got to mention, Gus Bradley will speak at One Spark tomorrow at 9 o'clock p.m. near the Jags Chamber downtown. Gus, Boselli, Scobie, Jacksonville will play at the 17th hole at the TPC Charity Challenge on Friday morning. Gus, Dave, Watson, Tinker, Stupar, Hayes, Gratz, and a few others will be down at the Clay County Fair, including yours truly, on Saturday before
I
Kelly
Pickler.
I think
you might be there.
Yeah, we'll be there for that.
Whether or not they were there or not, you're going to be there.
I might have been there with my Georgia boots on and everything. John, well done today.
Thank you, JP. You too.
That's it for today. Jaguars.com Live is in the books. Our thanks to Denard Robinson and Matt Miller. For John Osier and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week on Jaguars.com Live.